In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. What a dilemma. If we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. What to do? Chief priests and Pharisees gather in agitated council. Then Caiaphas speaks these remarkable words, "You know nothing at all, nor do you consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people and not that the whole nation should perish." What are we to make of these words? They sound like, well, they sound like the gospel. But from Caiaphas? Can that be? Let's see first what the words say, especially that little word, for. For the people, in behalf of. This is language that presupposes something. It presupposes sin and guilt. For these are the context of our salvation. Too often we trivialize these words by modifying them a bit with euphemism, mistake, shortcoming, Lord forgive our failings, even speaking of them as sins instead of sins, oftentimes risk minimizing what the Augsburg Confession calls that inbred sickness and hereditary sin, apart from any deed. Our sinful condition is already deserving of God's wrath and damnation. Our sins are simply the outward symptoms of a condition that exists. It is the heart that is deceitful above all things, Jeremiah says. To commit sins is not even a choice for us. Our most pious deeds, even as Christians, are tainted by sin. To confess, "I, a poor, miserable sinner," is by no means a pious overstatement. Seen in that light, the burdened heart rejoices to hear the word, "He died for all." One man should die for the people. Whether those words come from the Apostle Paul or from Caiaphas, here is the heart of the gospel. Here is expressed the vicarious, that is, the substitutionary nature of our salvation. It permeates all Scripture. Jonah, on the ship, was sacrificed for the many and thrown overboard so that all might not perish. St. Paul says, "He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us." Isaiah writes, "Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrow." Many of us are preachers or future preachers of the gospel. And as such, we live in this article of faith, which Luther called a happy exchange. His righteousness for our sin. It is a thirst refreshing, a thirst quenching and refreshing drink for the soul. This is the gospel that Walther says must predominate in our preaching. A second note. Note that there is a great mission thrust in this lesson of Scripture. Not for that nation only, but also that he would gather together in one the children of Israel who were scattered abroad. Redemption and remission of sins, Luke writes, should be preached in his name among all nations. Here is the universal nature of the gospel. Church is the gathering of the scattered. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be, Jacob said of Shiloh, as he blessed Judah. The preaching of the gospel must continue until the whole number of the elect, for whose sake the world still stands, has been gathered. For the sake of the elect, Christ even puts off putting his enemies under his feet in the form of the final judgment. Finally, there is the question still before us, how could Caiaphas, a scoundrel and a murderer who perverted his office of high priest, possibly utter divine prophecy? On occasion, God works through wicked people. Balak, king of the Moabites, hearing of Balaam's powers of divination, for example, asked Balaam to curse Israel. Instead, Balaam, no saint, blessed Israel and even prophesied of Christ with the words, "A star shall come out of Jacob, a scepter shall rise out of Israel." Caiaphas, like Balaam, did not speak on his own, but he spoke from God. Neither had a desire to be God's vessel of prophecy. The counsel of Caiaphas was to murder this Jesus. Luther, expounding on Caiaphas' words, counseled us to ask whether the thrust of a preacher or miracle worker was to confirm the doctrine of faith in Christ. And then he said, if so, then say, this sermon is right, though the person may be good for nothing. I will accept the sign, but I will ask no questions about the person. But if not, Luther said, then you must not accept it or believe it, regardless of how great the sign may be or how saintly and precious the person may be. As out of the mouths of babes and sucklings God has ordained strength, so has he also ordained it even in the scheming of his enemies. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.